Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the weekend edition of the show. So honored to be doing this journey with you today. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with Carrie Scott about how to let God, rather than our emotions, drive our decisions. You know, it's easy to get tangled up in worry, stress, anger, and resentment, but God can untangle those things if we bring them to Him. Just want to remind you first to go to Live the Promise, the show page, and find our past programs from this week. All of them are available up on our website at myfaithradio.com. We're going to talk about how God works to heal our insecurities. And if we're honest, we have to admit, most of us anyway, have to admit that we crave approval and acceptance in the eyes of family, friends, and even strangers to such a point, it actually makes it difficult to believe that God treasures and accepts us regardless of how others view us. I often say that the gap just has to widen between how people affect us and how God affects us, because His opinion trumps every other opinion. And if we're constantly at the mercy of everybody else's opinion, we're going to be tossed to and fro like the wind. There will be no sturdiness in our steps, no stability in our perspective. God really wants us to camp on the idea that He loves us, and that if we can live in response to His love and the fact that He's already sold on the idea of us, our souls will know a healing that we've never known before. Well, Carrie Scott joins me today to talk about how to untangle those knots of insecurity in our lives. The title of her book is aptly titled Untangled. So let me tell you about her, and we'll get her on the show. Carrie Scott's an author, speaker, and certified Bible life coach who challenges women to be real, not perfect, which I love, even when real is messy. She speaks to women's groups and writes an online devotional designed to help women to be who God created them to be. She lives in Colorado with her husband and their two children. You can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie. It's great to be here.
Great to be with you as well. I'm excited to talk with you about your book today, and thank you for getting us your verse ahead of time. That must make you a type A task-oriented person, I just got to say.
Very much so.
Yes, me too. Takes one to know one. So you gave a verse that I just love, one of my favorites, Psalm 46:10, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Talk about that passage and why it means so much to you.
Well, I've heard that scripture in a different translation growing up. It's that, "Be still and know that I am God." And I've always heard that. And you know, sometimes we become so familiar with verses that they don't have that deep impact anymore. Well, I remember having coffee with a friend of mine, and she mentioned that same verse, but in the NASB version, and it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." And that rocked me to my core, because I realized in that very moment, that's all I've been doing, is striving and trying to be something that I wasn't, and striving for approval and acceptance and love. And her pointing that out to me opened up this whole conversation with God about, "Lord, why am I working so hard to try to be loved when you tell me in your word that I already am?"
Good, good word. If we could remind our souls of that truth every day, Carrie, I think everything would be different, don't you?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, even now, note that with that verse so heavy on my heart and so deep in the marrow of my bones, I can see a difference, because I'm believing that I matter to God, and I'm believing that I have purpose, and that I'm created. I was created special, and He took time to think me up. And that changes actually your whole life. When you start thinking differently about who you are, it changes how you act.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And I want you to go, if you don't mind, take us some backstory on your journey of just what life was like for you when you were young and how you came to Christ.
Well, I have always been in a family with Christians. I mean, as far back as I can remember, I was hiding behind the curtains in church on Sunday at my grandparents' church, and we were there for the potlucks. I grew up in Texas, so, you know, it's potluck every Sunday and huge crowds and a lot of family and a lot of people. So as far back as I can remember, I've been involved in church. And that doesn't necessarily mean, however, that I adopted the faith. I kind of, you know, knew that it was out there, and I knew this is just what we did, and maybe it was a little legalistic, but I would say it really wasn't until about 10, 12 years ago that I really understood what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And at that time, my whole life changed, and I began to have this honest conversation with God about what had happened in my past and the abuse and, you know, bad decisions and seasons of bad choices. And it really was that time, I believe, that God became very real to me through Jesus.
Very good. Well, talk about what led you to write this book, Untangled.
Well, it had to be God, because really, what woman in her right mind who struggles with insecurity would write a book that shared everything that she felt insecure about? And I felt like God did such an amazing work in me. God did so much life-changing, life-transforming, life-altering work in me that when he asked me to write this book, I knew that I could trust him with my story. And it has been an amazing process. You know, when women open up and are vulnerable and transparent, it just invites others to be the same.
Yeah, so good. And that's actually true, I think, for men as well. Well, here's a great quote from your introduction. We all have that one particular tangle that knots us up, don't we? It could be weight, age, finances, parenting, marriage, health, friendship, the corporate ladder, or one of a million other things. We see how easy and effortless that one thing is for her or for him, I'm adding that, and we come undone. The tangle tightens as we feel inferior, worthless, and incompetent. We may be rock stars in every other part of life, but that one pesky, not good enough tangle totally knots us up. It has a way of overshadowing the truth of who we are and whispers, you'll never be worth anything. Wow, I want you to say more about that, because that is how it goes.
It absolutely is. It didn't matter what the accomplishments I had, the achievements I had. It didn't matter how well-liked I was or what a great mom or wife or friend or daughter that I was. It didn't matter, because I had this message that was planted in my heart when I was 4 years old that I believed and I decided to adopt as truth. I was sexually abused by a stranger at age 4, and as I was leaving the apartment, as if that wasn't traumatic enough, this man looked into my eyes and he said, "You are bad and you are dirty and you will never be worth anything." And because he said to me, you know, if you tell your parents, you will be in trouble, this is your fault, I didn't. And so for 8 years, I'm 4 years old, so for eight years, I let that message sink so deep into my DNA, and it became my operating system, if you will. I looked at life through this lens of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and it doesn't matter who I am or what I do, I will never be who I long to be or who others think I should be, because I'm a troublemaker and I'm covered in shame and I feel terribly guilty and I don't ever feel good about any accomplishment that I have. And that was just my life for the majority of it.
Tell me this, Carrie, did your parents notice a change in you? I mean, to be so young and to have such a trauma happen and then to have those lies get embedded in your soul. I mean, did their little girl change before their eyes, and did they notice that change?
You know, that's a really great question. I would say that I was still young enough that, you know, I don't think it was a necessarily this huge change right then and there. But as I grew up, you know, I have a younger sister, and she was the one that did everything right. And I was the one that always, you know, branched out and tried new things and made bad choices and bad decisions. And they had to wonder, you know, they didn't find out about this till I was 12. And I don't know if they connected the dots or not, but they had to wonder as I was growing up why I continued to go the opposite direction of how they had trained me to go.
Bless your heart. Wow. You made this very observant statement that I think is true for so many, and I actually think it's going to be healing for somebody listening today. You wrote, "In my mind, I was either loved or unloved, approved or rejected, good enough or worthless. There has never been a middle ground." I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever heard it put that way, Carrie, but I just think that is how the enemy operates. It's like, that's why we vacillate back and forth, because we're loved one minute and then we're not loved. We're doing something right, but it puts the onus on us and our performance, not only our performance, but everybody's perception of us. I want you to unpack that whole idea of on and off again, worth and acceptance and love, and why we land that way.
I can remember one time having a big argument with my husband. We had been married for years. You know, we were kind of past that rocky stage, which we had a very rocky stage. But maybe we were married 8 or 9 years, and we got into this doozy of a fight. I mean, it was a good one. And we walked away from each other, and, you know, he went to one corner of the house, and I went to the other corner of the house, and I'm sitting there, and I'm seething and seething, and then all of a sudden this fear rose up in me. And I started thinking, he's going to leave me. Like he's going to leave. He's had enough. I'm not the wife that he wanted. I don't argue and resolve things the way he wanted. I don't say the right things, and he is leaving me. And in that moment, I switched from, it's not that we're just in a fight. It's that my husband either loves me and wants to be with me, or he does not. And I can see that play out in so many areas of my life, where if something goes wrong, or if something triggers a memory or a hurt, or something that's happened in my past to me, I wonder if it's almost a safety net. Like, I don't want to think that I'm letting them down, so I'm just not loved and I'm moving on. I wonder if it's an escape of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Almost a self-sabotage, because it's almost hard to be in the middle ground. I don't, like, our brains can't really fathom that we're loved and we mess up sometimes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We perform well and then sometimes we fall down. And God knows all of that and loves us still and still died for us. I don't know why our brains can't get around that.
I think that is hard. That's a really good point. I think that middle ground is hard to navigate, especially when you don't have confidence, and especially when you already, are limping around in life because you don't feel good enough. And so you don't even have a solid standing to be on, to speak common sense to yourself and to remind yourself who you are because of Jesus, and to remind yourself of the years of marriage that you've poured in, and that really it's a very good marriage, and you're a good mom, and you're a good friend, and this is a blip in the map that doesn't have to derail us and throw us into the pit of life. We just may not have the confidence or the understanding of who we are to navigate it well.
And wouldn't it just be like the enemy to convince us that it's all or none, so that we make an all or none type of decision? Because how many relationships have been cut off? How many people out of fear have made hasty decisions that have been self-sabotaging just because of their fear? And we've got to think about that. And this is maybe for you listening today, you just need to hear this. You and I and Carrie, all of us, we're a pile of contradictions. We just are. We are in process, and we get to be without the condemnation. I'm talking to Carrie Scott today. Title of her book is Untangled: Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. I want to give her as much time as possible, but I want to get a few copies into your hands. If you want to chime in and tell me, if you want to call anonymously, you can as well, but maybe an area where you've struggled with that unsettledness, where your gut just knots up. Is it finances, weight, appearance, friendship, identity, acceptance? I'd love to know. Chime into the conversation. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Carrie Scott, more with her in just a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
This is something we got to do, you and I. We got to remember every day, every afternoon, and every evening, we are someone God loves. We are not what we do. We're not what we've done. We're someone God loves. And as we get that into our souls and we start to live in response to His love, everything changes. Talking to Carrie Scott today, title of her book is Untangled: Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. And before the break, we were talking about this quote from her book. She said, "In my mind, I was either loved or unloved, approved or rejected, good enough or worthless. There never has been a middle ground. Do you see how quickly we do that? We go to that default place, and then we get so defeated that we start to make choices out of that place. Well, we've got a few copies of Carrie's book to get into your hands. If you want to call anonymously, you can do that, but you're not alone. We all deal with this, and some more than others. I'm including myself in that some. 877-933-2484. Kathy's checking in from Wisconsin. She wants to chime into the conversation. Kathy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay, thank you.
What do you have to say to us today?
Well, as a young child, I was told quite often by my mom that I was never going to amount to anything, that no man would ever love me because I was too heavy or, you know, I just got that message most of my life. How do you deal with multiple insecurities, because I feel like I've dealt with that so much of my life, even later in my life, and I've gone through depression, and it's been very hard to
I'm so sorry.
Remember that God loves me just the way I am.
Yeah. Kathy, first of all, it is hard, and I'm so, so sorry, and your mom was wrong. She just was wrong. And I want to know, Carrie, can you speak to Kathy, if you would?
Kathy, I'm sorry to hear that, too. I know what it's like to have that message reinforced in your life over and over and over, and it becomes part of your belief system. And I'll tell you, friend, here is the only thing that worked for me, because I tried everything to feel better. I tried cookies and church and community and counseling and everything else I could find under the sun to try to fill that emptiness and try to make me be better or to be lovable or whatever it was. And it was not until I got to a place in my life where I said, God, I can't do this. I've tried. I can't fix this. And would you come in and would you untangle these places in me and remind me who I am? And I hope that doesn't sound cliche. It's just actually what the only thing that ever worked for me. And so my encouragement to you would be for you to really find that safe place, whether it's with a friend, whether it's just you and your Bible and praying to God, and just surrender all of these things to Him and ask Him to come in and do a work, because He is the great healer and He will do what He says He will do, which is restore us.
Indeed. Kathy, I will attest to what Carrie said. That's the same thing that worked for me. You're going to get a book, first of all, and she addresses all these different aspects and areas of insecurity. But get with God, cry out to Him, and just say, untangle this stuff for me. And He will put truth where there's been a lie. And He is a redeemer. He can redeem your story. Thank you so much for calling. We've got an anonymous caller checking in from Woodbury, and she's so glad we're talking about this today. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you, first of all, for your heart and your ministry. And my comment is that I feel like there's so much pressure in our society as women to have this perfect appearance, especially with our body images. And I just find that that is a huge area of insecurity for myself and for a lot of women that I know.
Wow, thank you so much for that. What do you say, Carrie?
I agree with you. You know, every time we turn around, we're being bombarded with what we should look like and what we shouldn't look like and all these styles that many of us can't fit into, and our hair should be this and our makeup should be this. And at some point, we have to just say, stop the insanity and, Lord, help me love who I am, and let me not get tangled up in who society says that I should be, but instead, help me find a way to love how you created me, because you didn't create me to be like every other woman. You didn't create me to fit the norm. You created me on purpose and special, and help me understand that.
Indeed. And, you know, this is something I often say to women, and men, you need to hear this too. We've got lots of men listening as well, Carrie. Just want you to know that. But this is for women, and so men, tell your wives this. But we see these examples in TV and in magazine ads of this perfection, airbrushed perfection. But there are many gorgeous women who've lived and died, and we've never thought about them again. There are women who maybe weren't so much to look at, but they cultivated the inner life, like a Harriet Tubman, a Catherine Booth, a Corrie Ten Boom. We're still talking about them. And so if we can just sort of revolt and say enough already with that, I'm going to be comfortable in my skin. I'm going to love who God made me to be. But I'm going to tend to the inner life because I want to be a part of the kingdom story in a way that changes the world because that's what God has invited me to. But that does take a certain rejection of the standard that we're seeing, don't you think?
Absolutely, 100%, because, you know, marketers spend, you know, millions of dollars each year trying to remind us that we're not enough, so that we will buy their product and be who they tell us that we should be. But you're absolutely right. If we find that contentment within, and if we ask the Lord to come in and make us happy with who we are, somehow that starts inside and it just radiates out, and we kind of lose that concern with what everybody else is thinking of us.
Yeah, and you know when you meet people like that who are comfortable in their skin, you want to hang with them because it's like they know something that the rest of the world doesn't. Well, we've got a listener, dear listener, who wrote in. She said, this program is exactly what I needed to hear. God's been taking me on what looks to be a long journey of self-discovery. This not good enough knot that's rooted deep in me has been showing up in every area of my life, from my relationship with my kids, my anger, she said, and my need to please people. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Nicole, and I'm going to make sure, I'm going to do my best to get you a copy of this book. And then this listener wrote in and said, one thing that I've struggled with is that I have a heart arrhythmias. A heartbeat's funny sometimes, has created a lot of anxiety that I let get the best of me. So there's a fear around health. You address so many of these different areas in your book. Did you deal with anything to do with fear around health issues?
No, I didn't, but I dealt a lot with body image issues and always feeling like I was not a beautiful woman or I was not a desirable woman or that I would see this cute woman walking, you know, her stroller and she's perfectly put together and she probably has, you know, dinner in the crock pot already. And I would look at her and say, how did you do that? Like your kids' clothes match. Mm-hmm. And I think I got mine to school on time today. So I did a lot of comparing to other women that way. And that really, you know, in body image and in everything. And that really tangled me up.
You know, I appreciate that. I was that way too. And when I would see women like that, I'm thinking, I bet you cook in high heels like June Cleaver. I just know you did because I didn't. But the health thing, I've dealt with health things. And so this listener, Sean, I want you to know, I know what that's like, where you start to get so afraid. If you've been sick, you start to get afraid of other sicknesses. But then what you do is you take it upon yourself to try to keep yourself alive and keep yourself healthy, and you make a career out of it. And that's not God's will for you either. Don't you think? I feel like, Carrie, we take it upon ourselves. When we get tangled up in knots, I think it's because we're taking it upon ourselves to do something we weren't meant to do. Don't you think?
I completely agree. It's that whole, I'm going to fix it. It's. I think it's our go-to button, really. It's our default is when things get bad, because in our life, we're kind of the fixers, you know, with our kids and in our marriage and with our friends. I mean, we're smart women. We can multitask. And so the thought of fixing something comes very easily to us. So when we're unhappy, well, what do we need to do to fix it? When we don't like the way we look, well, what do we need to do to fix it? And instead of sitting in with God and pressing into Him and saying, Lord, I am really struggling in this area and I need for you to shine your light on this, we just hoard it. We hold on to it and we try to fix it ourselves and we leave Him out of the equation.
Mm. And what He wants us to do is to invite Him into the equation so we can know freedom, because He said, you will know the truth and it's the truth that will set you free. So we need to identify, what are these lies that we're believing? What's behind and underneath this tangled up knot? It's a great book, Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. If you want to chime into the conversation, you sure can. I know some people, so we might be able to get a few extra copies. Actually, we kind of share a similar publisher under the same Baker. So 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Talking to Carrie Scott. More with her in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
You know, when you think about it, we all have varying levels of insecurity, of anxiety, of where we kind of get that knot in our gut around certain situations. Maybe yours is around finances or ministry, how somebody else seems to be more prosperous in their ministry or friendships or marriage or even strangers, how you think they're perceiving you. This is so important that we don't just ignore it. We don't medicate it. We don't make excuses for it. We go after it. We find out what is the lie underneath that, because God wants to untangle that knot. He wants to put truth there so that you have peace where there once was angst and soul unrest. I'm talking to Carrie Scott today. She's written a great book titled Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. Would love for you to chime into the conversation. If there's just been a perpetual area where you get tied up in knots and you'd love to know soul freedom, or maybe you can say, I once was this way, but here's what I learned. And now, look at me, I'm free. I'd love to hear that story as well. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller checking in from Fargo, North Dakota. Thank you for holding today. You're on the air.
Hi, and thank you so much for all that you do for all of us.
So honored to do that every day, really.
Yeah, it is amazing. I just wanted to this is kind of about me, and I've had two marriages, and both marriages, one 10 years, one 31 years, and both individuals have committed adultery and have betrayed financially and lies, and I have to ask myself, what is it in me, what is this about me that they do this? Is it about me?
Honey, wow. What do you say, Carrie?
I think that's a hard question to answer. I think that's something that, you know, maybe you would want to talk with a trusted counselor with, or a pastor or something. I think what I would encourage you to avoid is placing all of the guilt of this and all of the responsibility of this on your shoulders. I mean, that would be just like the enemy, to make you feel like you're the one that's broken, you're the one that's worthless, you're the one that can't hold a marriage together. That sounds very much like how the enemy speaks. Now, there might be some places that that you need to be healed up, and there might be some things, you know, and some responsibility that you have in it. I mean, it takes two to tangle, right? But overall, I would really encourage you to be cautious not to pile that guilt on your shoulders. You're not designed to carry that.
And I truly think, too, if there is a core belief that God in his gentleness is not going to beat you down, he's not going to condemn you, he's going to call you up and heal you. And I remember, I'm talking to this anonymous friend, years ago, many, many years ago, I went through this series of just broken friendships, and a really godly girlfriend said to me, she said, Susie, I got to be honest with you. She said, in your effort to let everybody speak into your life so that you're trying to keep everybody, you know, you want everybody to have access to tell you if they've bothered you. She said, there's such a wide highway there that she says, even people who don't have an issue with you, she said, even me, she said, I fear God, otherwise I would do this. But the flesh in me wants to rise up and critique you because you're so open to it. And she said, it feels like you should shut that down, that road down, and keep it open to a few people who've earned the trust. And it was a revelation to me, Carrie, where I realized by wanting to be right with God and right with man, I really had opened myself up to everybody, and people ran over me all day long. And I'm wondering for this dear anonymous caller, if she has a core belief that somehow either she deserves it, or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's times where we don't even realize there's a lie embedded in our soul, and people think, I could get away with this with her because of what she believes about herself. And I think that's a deeper truth that maybe can come out in prayer counseling. But this is the kind of stuff that God does untangle, isn't it?
It is, and I believe that every tangle is based in a lie.
Yes.
I believe every tangle that I had, every not good enough message or you're never going to measure up message, every tangle that God has been working on me has been based in a lie, a belief that I had that was not reality. It was not what God would have wanted me to believe and operate in. So I fully am on board with that.
Yeah, so maybe just each of us just get with God to say, are there lies embedded in my soul that are giving access to the enemy? Or, I mean, you can pick up on that even when you're with people, where you get a sense of maybe a core belief that they have that's actually not true. And so may a trusted, godly person speak into your life, dear friend. And I think we've got enough copies to get you a copy of Carrie's book, Untangled. I think it'll help you a ton. And Carrie, you said you've come to this place where you don't need the world to love you like before. I love this. You said you've made peace with the knowledge that some people may never approve of you, and you're okay with that because you weren't created to impress the world. I just love that. I want you to talk about that process. I know it was one untangled knot at a time, but what that's like for you even now, to be really okay with not everybody getting you.
Well, let me say I'm okay with that 95% of the time.
There you go. Me too.
Or maybe 75% of the time. But then there are those moments where someone says something really harsh to me, or I get a one-star review on my book, or someone emails me something that's not nice, or a friend does something to hurt me, that I really struggle with holding on to that belief of who I really am because of Jesus. And so I start spiraling back, and I start, those lies are so quick to come right back up to the surface. But here's what I have found. The more time I spend with God, the more I am aware of the tangles that I have, the quicker I am to pull myself out of that spiral. I don't think I will ever be free from insecurity. I'm not sure that's possible this side of heaven. I don't think I will ever stop being triggered by certain things in my life that poke those not good enough messages that wake me up and send me, to places of insecurity. But what I have found is that I am quicker to see the tangle. I'm quicker to take it to God. And if I start down that downward spiral, I'm not there for long. And that, to me, is victory.
Yeah, indeed. And well put. I would say the same thing with me. And, those one-star, two-star reviews are like a fist to a gut because you're putting your story out there. And it's not one thing to not like a book. It's another thing to be downright mean about it, And so I get it. I totally get it a lot. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
I hate those. But anyway.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. So let's talk about some of the things that you talked about in the book. And by the way, you were so brave. And I just applaud you for this because I think by you going first, you're going to help people identify some of the knots that they have. Okay, so one of the knots that God helped you untangle was finances and always feeling kind of like a have not. Take it from there.
Well, I am definitely, my family is the poor family in the family, in the extended family. So my sister and her family, my parents, they all have much more money. Their money tree grows better than ours does.
Actually, they have a money tree, right?
Right, exactly. And so when we would go on vacation, it would be very easy for them to pull out a credit card and pay for the entire group of us, five kids, three couples. It would not affect them or hurt their bottom line at all. But knowing that if my family did that, it would creep in on some of the other bills that we had to pay. We just didn't have unlimited resources. And so even though I'm the oldest child, I'm the oldest daughter of two, I felt like I was the kid, and it would make me feel, silly and stupid and like I wasn't an adult and like I wasn't successful, and it messed me up. And when I was at home just with my family, I mean, we make a good living. I can afford Starbucks regularly. I love Starbucks. But when you start comparing yourself and you get in those situations where maybe you can't keep up or you can't do what they can do, sometimes the financial part of it makes you feel like, you're just not, you can't keep up, you don't measure up.
Yeah, that's really true. That's why I'm glad you spoke about that out loud. Okay, how about this one, ministry?
Oh, here, I've got a great story for you. As my book released in June, I had a good friend, and her book was releasing in July. And I love this woman, love her, love what she writes about. It's kind of in the same field of what I'm writing about. And we support each other, and we love each other. And I remember watching our books start rivaling each other on Amazon, on the new release bestsellers list. And we were up and down, up and down. And all of a sudden, my book dropped and her book shot to the top. And I remember sitting there going, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden that anxiety started coming up. And, those charts change every day, every hour. But when I happened to look at it, I was not in the position that I wanted to be in. And here is what I did to combat that. Instead of wishing the worst instead of feeling like my book wasn't as good as her book or I wasn't as loved as she was, I started blessing her. And so I said, Father God, thank you for my friend's book and thank you for the message that she has and the people that she's reaching. And thank you. I just ask you to bless her and her ministry. And I ask you to bless everything that she puts her hands to. And you know what that did? Is it took that envy and jealousy and comparison pit that I can get into, and it took it away. It like lost its power because I decided to bless instead of allow those that situation to make me feel worthless.
And you can hear the enemy going, well, that went different in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't expect it to turn out that way. And that's really the point, isn't it? It's like turn the tables on the enemy because he is behind every attempt to make us feel less than. My mentor says the two most common doorways that enemy enters is inferiority and insecurity. She said, if you're feeling inferior and or insecure, she said, you can know he's behind it in some way, shape, or form. Because if he can get us looking down, we won't be looking up. And I just think that's so key. So you went about it exactly as God would ask you to. Okay, how about friendships?
Friendships has been a really tough tangle for me because I have been really hurt by women, and the women that I speak to tell me that they've been really hurt by women. And I think as women, we really hurt each other. We're very careless with each other's hearts. And some of my worst pain has come from an experience where a woman hurt my feelings. I don't know if you can relate to that.
Yeah.
And so when friendships got tricky for me, and when, you know, a friend, I wasn't invited out to coffee and I heard everybody else was at coffee, or I didn't get the invitation to the party that night, or, you know, she said something and derogatory and I heard about it, somebody told me, and I would get so wounded by women that friendship has been tricky. But here's what I want to caution women against. First of all, can we just be nice to each other?
Amen.
Can we just link arms and realize we are in this together, and it's hard enough as it is to be a woman? Let's have that compassion for one another.
Indeed.
But second of all, the Lord created us for community, and there is nobody that can tend my heart on this earth better than a friend. My husband, he'll give me about 5 minutes, and then he's like, do you think you should call a friend? Because my crazy starts showing, and he doesn't know how to handle my crazy. But my girlfriends, they know how to handle it because they've got crazy too.
Mm. And that's the thing, is we've got to start to become safe for each other. We've got to blow the doors off the stereotype that we've earned, and so important. Okay, marriage. You say a really important thing about marriage, that when that husband becomes an idol or a savior, we're going to be tangled up. So say more about marriage and how that we need to get untangled from maybe misplaced expectations when it comes to our spouse.
Oh, I think it's so easy to put our spouse on the throne and just think they are the end-all, be-all. And we start worshiping them, and we are so concerned about pleasing them and them approving of us and them giving us all this time that we need and dealing with all of our struggles that we kind of make them be our God. And that's out of balance. It really isn't fair to them at all because they don't have they don't know how to deal with – you know, they don't know how to deal with the emotions that we have sometime. And instead of taking our issues to God or talking with a trusted friend that can understand us and speak into us, we make our husbands be the end all. And you know what ends up happening? It's a huge fight, at least in my house, because I start complaining about how he's not living up to what I need, how he's not being who I need him to be, and that never ends well. So I think that's definitely something that we do. Or we have this idea that we have to be a super wife or a forever young wife. Like if we are not this perfect woman in every sense of the word, that we are letting our husbands down. And so we start feeling guilty that we don't have dinner on the table every night, or the laundry isn't done every day. And so we put this pressure on us to be perfect when maybe he probably, that's not even something that crosses his mind.
Yeah. Boy, the gymnastics we do in our mind is really quite something. I'll leave it at that. Okay, let's talk femininity before we take a break. That was another one you said just got tangled up a little bit. Love to hear what you have to say.
Gosh, there is a million different things about our womanhood that tangles us up. It can be our appearance. It can be the fact that we're getting older. It can be the fact that, and so we can't keep up with the younger folks. It can be our health, like the caller said. You know, we're not as able to do the things we could, and so we start feeling guilty and like we're just, you know, put out to pasture. It can be our sexuality. We're not who we think our husbands need us to be, or we're not as beautiful as she is. It can be our social calendars. You know, my social calendar is not as full as her social calendar, so what's wrong with me? You know, why don't I have dates? It can be our faith. It can be, you know, my prayers aren't as flowery as her prayers are. I mean, it's unlimited what we can do comparing ourselves to other women and making ourselves feel less than.
And that's why we're talking about this book, Untangled. Let God loosen the knots of insecurity in your life. Love for you to chime into the conversation. If you've got a comment, if you've got an experience that you can share, a way that God really met you to turn this thing around for you, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Otherwise, send me an email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about ways that God meets us, sets us right, so we can live free the way He always intended us to live. Don't go away. More with Carrie Scott in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Don't you love that? You love the Maker. He loves you. That's all you really need. We're all going to go through seasons of life where people don't get us. They're mad at us. They're disappointed in us. It just happens. We're in a fallen world where we disappoint each other. But people's current opinions of you, they don't dictate your value, because Christ already has. I'm talking to Carrie Scott today about her book, Untangled, Let God Loosen the Knots of Insecurity in Your Life. Carrie, can you think of a time as you're talking about some of these knots that God has untangled in your life, finances, ministry, friendships, marriage, your femininity? Can you think of a time where you were with the Lord and He actually surprised you by telling you a truth that set you free that you actually didn't see coming?
Oh, I love that. Thank you for asking me that question. I remember one day I was typing out this book, and I got to a section where I started writing about shame, and I didn't mean to write about shame because I didn't really even know what shame was. So I don't know if you've ever done this as you're writing a book. You're typing out, you're pounding on the keyboard, and all of a sudden your writing starts going a direction that you didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what was happening to me that day, and I typed out the word shame, and I stopped writing, and I started crying, and I said, Lord, are you telling me that I have shame? I mean, I don't even know what that is. So I remember looking it up and learning the difference between shame and guilt. And since I wasn't a guilt person, I assumed I didn't struggle with shame. But here's the difference. It's guilt is feeling bad about something that you've done. Shame is feeling bad about who you are. And when I ran across that definition, I think I fell on the floor and started crying. I could not believe that I had been struggling with this shame that the enemy had just covered my eyes with, and I realized shame was dripping all over me, and it started from that four-year-old little girl who was sexually abused by that stranger, and it just kept piling on and piling on, and I did not feel good about who I was, and that revelation freed me more than anything else that I did with this book, Untangled.
Oh, thank you, Lord. And that's the thing, is as we pursue Him and we cry out to Him, He will meet us, and sometimes in the most unexpected places and times. And, you know, something you address in the book that I've thought a lot about as well is sometimes we're insecure over unrealistic standards, where we feel bad for not being able to reach a standard that's actually not reachable 100% of the time. And I want you to talk about that, because, again, this is wasted angst, where enemy will raise a bar that's impossible, and then we will spend our life feeling miserable that we can't reach it. What say you?
Well, I think just the example you gave earlier, talking about these magazine covers with these women that are airbrushed on there, they don't even look like that. The women on the covers in reality don't even look like that. But, you know, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and we'll be at the grocery store, and she'll see a picture, and she will, you know, I'll see her staring at it, and I know in her mind where she goes, because we've talked about it before, but she'll look at them and say, well, I don't look like her, and look at her hair is always perfect. I mean, look at her nails. Everything is, you know, her clothes are perfect. Her room is perfect. You know, you look on television. Everything looks perfect. And so we have this idea of this is what life should be. This is the kind of marriage I should have. This is the kind of friend I should be. This is how my body should look. It doesn't matter that I'm 48. I should look like a 23-year-old if I go on this diet, you know, if I run this amount of miles a day. And so we put these standards in our minds that not only can we not meet, but if we do by chance, we certainly can't maintain them.
And boy, what freedom to just, again, shake the shackles off our feet and say, I'm not running that race. I'm going to run the good race, not that one. And I mean, and we just miss so much joy, so much adventure because we're running the wrong race. Well, Carrie, we just have a few minutes before I ask you to pray. I love that you have some strong words for those of us who use social media. And I want you to talk about that for a minute, how it feeds our ego, how it feeds the sin of comparison, but how we can also use it in a God-honoring way. I want you to have a soapbox moment, and I want you to go for it.
I love the soapbox. I'm going to step on it right now.
Go
here
on
I
it,
am.
Girl.
I'm up here.
All right.
Here is my soapbox moment. Girls, the people that you see on Facebook that tangle you up, those women, those families that put these snapshots of their life out there on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest, I want you to take a step back and realize you're only seeing the part of their life that they have approved for you to see. You didn't see them screaming at their kids earlier in the morning and their kids are hiding under the kitchen table sucking their thumbs, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't see them 15 minutes earlier when their hair was a mess and they didn't have on this perfect outfit. And so we get this idea of how everybody else's life is going based on Facebook. And so we start looking and saying, well, my family doesn't look that well. My family's a bit messier than hers, or my home doesn't look like that, or I cannot make those cupcakes for my daughter's birthday at school like they show on Pinterest. And so we start comparing ourselves, our lives, our families, our person to everything else we are seeing out there on social media. And I want to remind you, those are just the snapshots of the good parts of their lives. So maybe instead of comparing yourself to them, what if you decided to go, thank you that my friend Susie's book is selling so well, and thank you that my friend Joan got to go on that awesome vacation. I hope it blessed their family. And thank you that they got a snapshot of their family that was so perfect, because I know that was probably difficult with three toddlers.
Yeah.
And instead of cursing them, what if we decided to bless them and realize we're only seeing the good?
Indeed. And the truth of the matter is, if it becomes such a snare for you that you're tied up in a knot more than you're not, maybe you fast from social media for a while. But I think we buy into the lie that their life always looks like that snapshot, and that they don't have those low lights in the, you know what I mean, the tough parts of the real. And we just forget that. We compare our insides to everybody's outsides, and we come up miserable. But God has given us a light and easy yoke, and our story fits us best because God loves us so much. And Carrie, this has been fantastic. I hope you'll join us again, come back on the show as we get ready to wrap up. I want you to pray for that person listening. I'm thinking of a particular woman listening today who goes to this place, lands in the ditch more often than not, and gets down on herself, and maybe even frames her disappointments in ways that just defeats her, you know? Would you pray that God would give her a fresh revelation of his love?
Yes, absolutely. Father God, I just thank you for this time today, and I thank you that you have given me a story to share with women that, Father, I hope is an encouragement to them to realize they're not alone in this, and that we are all struggling in some form or another, and life is messy no matter how perfect we want it to look. And Lord, I ask that you meet that one woman right where she is in this very moment, Lord, and that you just wrap your arms around her and tell her how amazing she is to you and how perfectly made she is because of you, Father God, and give her the courage to face some of these tangles and to face these insecurities, Father God, with you so that you can heal those places inside of her. And I pray not one person that hears my voice goes away feeling like there is no hope. Father God, you are the great physician and the healer and the restorer, and I just pray that you work your power on everybody that's hearing my voice right now, and I thank you in advance for the amazing work you do and the fact that untangling is real and you're doing it in my life, and if you do it for me, you'll do it for anybody else.
Mm.
And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Carrie Scott, you are a fiery woman, and I like you. You got to come back, okay?
Absolutely. Thank
okay.
you.
The title of her book again is Untangled. Sing that song to your soul over and over again till you know it's true in that deepest place. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. You've been listening to Live the Promise. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of my conversation with Carrie up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Who doesn't struggle with insecurity and that soul angst once in a while? So be a radio missionary. With the click of a button, you can send out this conversation by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Finally, I'll leave you with this thought. You hear it most every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day, and I'll meet you back here next time.